Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, so there's some California Love from Tupac for our one fan who mentioned that we didn't play it last time when I did a Sherm show. So, fresh from Spotify, hot tracks. Anyway, Steve Brown is going to be our guest today, and we're doing another Sherm 17 show on Drive Through. And Steve, welcome back to Drive Through. We don't do many shows anymore, so welcome back, and glad to have you here as a guest.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. It's always nice to talk to friends, and I love drive-through HR. I'm glad it's popping up more and more.
I was sharing text or in Facebook instant message. They're all the same to me anymore. With Crystal, we were talking about it a little bit. Everybody's just so busy. It's hard to keep the thing going. We keep talking about trying to figure out how we can bring it back. But so I use Sherm as my annual excuse right now. Listen, Steve, I wanted you to come on and talk about a bunch of quick hit stuff, but let's probably do the serious one first, which is tell us. I know you love Sherm, and I know it's always a big deal for you. I guess you're presenting there again this year, right?
I am. Yes, I have a mega session, I guess, and a smart stage. I'm sorry. What?
Hang on one second. Yeah. I was trying to do this on speaker, but it's not working right. So. You have a regular session and smart stage?
Yeah.
What are your topics?
The one for my mega session is for brand name HR, how to make a brand as an HR person within your organization. And then the smart stage is going to be about connecting people, because I really think it's something that needs to come more naturally. People tend to come and want to be at the conference on their own when they can meet great resources all around them.
I'm curious, because I don't think I've seen you do it. So the branding thing within HR, tell me a little bit more about that. How to build your personal brand? How to be more strategic? What's kind of the? I don't want to steal your thunder of your session, but
It's fine. I think the big thing is in our organization we lack identity. And so we're one of the only departments that does. So these are tips on how to own what you do and be a leader within your organization by having a brand. It doesn't go in spite of the company brand, or it's not personal only and it just goes with you. It's just to make sure that HR has a viable presence inside the organization at the leadership level.
Interesting, good. Not interesting idea, and I think something that it's framed in a different way. I like that. I mean, it's different than the old saw about the chairs and all that stuff, right? It's how are you known within your organization? Cool. So less serious now. I saw somewhere, I think, and I stole it if it's not true. That you said you have a personal goal of trying to meet every person at the Sherm conference, which is like 15,000 people. So how big is your mega session going to be? Did they rent like the convention center for you, or are you talking?
I don't know. I hope people show up. That'd be great.
Yeah. So is that goal true? And if so, how do you plan to accomplish what is probably a bit of a stretch goal?
I think it is a stretch goal. Is it true? Yes, it's more aspirational, I would think, than realistic, only because I think there's some people who don't want to be met, which is kind of odd to me. But I also know that my bent is to be around people and truly make connections. I don't want to meet people just to meet them. I want to meet people to let them know I love that they're in the field that I love, and that what they do is important. And I'd like to see them succeed, and they can't succeed on their own. So... instead of waiting for them to network, I'm going to go after them.
Yeah, it's so hard. It's so hard. Laurie Rudiman wrote a blog post this morning about, she went to a tech conference, I guess, sometime in the last couple of weeks. And she said she found it funny that she was, she's kind of like not the big name there, she was kind of in the room and nobody really knew who she was because she was trying there to learn. And She was talking about how she would handle SHRM 17 if she was going to be there, which I guess she isn't. And she would do it differently than she has in the past, where she would grab people and take them to lunch or invite them to come to a session with her and talk to them. And I thought that was a great idea. I mean, you know, I remember
definitely.
The days before social media when it was so hard to kind of meet anybody. And if you can just connect with that one person, they can open doors for you. So I think your aspirational goal is one that's worthy of some other people emulating, right? So I think that's pretty, her advice is pretty good. We're going to have a bunch of friends there in the Bloggers Lounge. I'm looking forward to that. And I know most of them will probably listen to this podcast, and if not, they'll hear you or see you there anyway. But what would you tell other folks in HR that might be coming to SHRM 17 for the first time, or, you know, kind of go on their own and just learn and don't hang out, about following with social media and that kind of thing? What would you share there?
I think SHRM's done a lot of good things in social media over the years, and I think they're really trying to connect the social media people to the members more in the past, and it's kind of more of an expectation. It's easy to sit in a room and blog, but it's harder to meet the people who make up the organization. So I would recommend the bloggers meet the people who are attendees, and I would recommend the attendees not only follow the good work that people do on social media, but connect with them. Get to know Mike Van Der Voort. Get to know Mary Faulkner. Get to know Dan Cross. Don't just, you know, and the many more. They should go to the SHRM 17 bloggers link out on the SHRM site and connect with all of them now and start following the work on an ongoing basis. We tend to do social media at peaks and valleys. The conference goes crazy, and Sharon will talk about how it trends and what a movement it is. Well, that's cool. It's a point in time. I think, you know, social media needs about ongoing communication, not just, you know, hey, I got to meet so-and-so. It's, you know, how can I find these people and learn from them and use them as resources going forward?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think I said this when I was on with Vladimir a couple weeks ago, maybe. You know, I have heard people tell me, oh, I saw you, but I didn't come up and say hi. And they'll tell me that in an email after I'm home. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm not famous, I'm not scary either, you know. So if you see me and I don't see you, please come and say hi. And because that's one of the reasons that I'm on social media, is to meet people and, you know, to have a chance to talk to them. And I would say the same thing for you. You're easier to spot in a crowd than I am, because you have your entourage and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, no, that's going to be my next question in a minute, is what life on the SHRM board. But seriously, I do think that people kind of feel a little intimidated because somehow we're famous in quotes, and we're not. We're just other HR practitioners there to learn, just like everyone else. And so, yeah, please jump on and say hello if you recognize my avatar or see me somewhere. And the same for all the other people that are in that room. So I am curious, Steve. I know you've been on the board now for, what, a year plus?
A year plus, mm-hmm.
Year plus, and it was like a bit, I know it was a big moment, you know, in our little group, that somebody that we had known so closely and personally over, in my case, took me 10 years to meet you in person, but I've known you for quite a long time and known of your work. So now you're kind of, it's kind of like having one of us on the SHRM board, not that the other SHRM board members aren't one of us, but you're the first one I really knew personally and well. Can you kind of tell people what your experience has been like on the board and sort of, you know, just in general what the board does and that kind of thing?
Sure. My experience has been amazing. I've always wondered, you know, you hold a role and you think the next role you have will be the best ever and it will never get better. And I thought being a member of the Membership Advisory Council, the MAC, was going to be the pinnacle. And honestly, it was amazing too. But to be on the board and have a voice at the top of the organization, best thing I've ever had personally or professionally. What we do is we help the leadership team of SHRM run the organization. So we listen to trends and where they're going and what are the possible avenues of business that they're searching. And the thing that's interesting is I don't think the members realize that SHRM is a business. it's, you know, we think it's just a giant membership organization. Membership is key and critical and always will be because it makes us who we are. But there's a business behind it. So sitting on a board of directors is like the board of directors any company. So we listen to financials, we listen to, you know, where things are going, marketing campaigns, all kinds of different things. So it's an exciting opportunity, and it's nice to be a person who grew up through SHRM, so to speak, to be there to talk about membership heavily and to connect them more to who we are as an organization.
Awesome. So I'm sure the one thing that I forgot to ask that everybody wants to know is, like, do you have, like, the secret vault? Is there, do you get keys to the exec? is there some super special perk that they haven't told us about that you get when you become a board? I'm obviously joking, but
the thing I didn't realize before I was on the board was, you know, these people are business professionals just like us. And just like you talked about social media, these people are at senior level positions in organizations, which is something that many HR people aspire to. So instead of them being distant or disconnected, I don't find that to be the case at all. But it's a matter of bridging the gap and getting to know them. Some of them have very, very large global roles. Others do not. And they're business people from different backgrounds to help the board keep balanced for the organization. I've learned more. I have more respect for the board being on it than I did when I wasn't.
I think that makes sense. I've had a chance to get to know, not as well as you, but to know a couple of other SHRM board members. And in fact, one had worked at one of my former employers for a period of time before I was there. So we kind of even had, you know, some common cultural background to talk about. And you're right, it's just people. But they do some really good things. I did have one, like, very specific question, and I don't think it's going to be like a problem to answer. But if it is, just say so. Why? And I believe this is the case. So I saw Hank when I was at Legislative, and I talked to him, and, you know, wished him well on his departure because I'm not sure I'll see him again between now and the time he leaves. And he thanked me for that. But we were talking about replacement. I think, isn't SHRM using a search firm to look for Hank's successor?
That is part of the option, yeah. The thing that is good about that process, though, is it's an incredibly thorough selection process. Incredibly balanced selection process. And they're looking internally and externally. I'm excited. Mm-hmm. That we're going to have some, I think, very viable candidates. But they're in the process of that now. We really can't talk about details.
I wasn't asking, like, who's taking Hank's place. I guess what I was curious about specifically is why use a search firm, you know, when you're, you know, 200,000 HR people? And it's, you know, I think it's a question some people wonder about sometimes.
Sure. No, I think, you know, I think the process was open, and there were recommendations even for people to be given to the firm to vet.
Mm-hmm.
And the best way I can do it is this. Even to become a board member, you go through a search firm. So it's a great process, and I think it's consistent. It just shows a little more balance. It's not anointing somebody, which they could. Any organization could do that. Mm-hmm. I think they're trying to be much more thorough in getting somebody on board that'll help move the organization forward.
Okay, great. So we're actually just about 15 minutes into the show already. Time flies when you're having fun, right? I'm gonna do a quick reset this is Drive Through HR. It's May 15th. And one of our rare 2017 shows, and our guest is Steve Brown. I don't even know that I actually did the intro other than to say, Steve, welcome back. So why don't you tell people, if in the unlikely event that there's somebody listening that doesn't know you, who you are, where you're from, and what you do?
I am the head of human resources for a regional pizzeria in Cincinnati, Ohio. La Rosa's Pizza, La Rosa's Inc. is the part that I'm in charge of. From the HR side, and we're in the greater Cincinnati area. We've been around for 63 years. Incredible company. You know, we do pizza great, better than anybody, and we handle the culture and people side well as well.
Yeah, we've had some interesting discussions about people who, I think the one that struck me was a guy who was retiring and he'd been with the company for 50 years and had been a part-time delivery driver. Do I have that right?
Roger had been with us a little over 50 years of the 63 we've been in. And we just had another person celebrate their 50th anniversary. And he's our maintenance director. He's fantastic. We have a special culture where people who normally you wouldn't think in a restaurant industry people would stay long term, but that's more the norm than the exception here.
Yep. Hey, I actually have a FedEx driver banging at my door live while we're on the air. So, okay. Awesome. Okay, that can wait. So the other thing I wanted to talk to you about is not related to Sherm. We'll come back to Sherm in a minute. But something that you and another pretty good friend of mine, Paul Hebert, have been working on for a while is a different kind of movement related to HR, and that's something called HR Positive. Why don't we talk about that for a couple of minutes?
Yeah, Paul and I got together. As you know, Mike, we've been on the dark side of HR, and we know about the dark side of HR. And people still tend to talk very negatively about our field. So Paul and I started a group on LinkedIn called HR Positive. It's all one word, no space. And we only put things out there that lift the profession up. And it's amazing how much is out there. But you have to dig for it. And once you get it, there's people writing articles all over. There's great movements. There's great initiatives. So we put it out there, and we are very close. We're one person away from having 2,000 members on the HR Positive group. But we try and make it much more interactive. Some LinkedIn groups are dormant and stagnant. Ours is pretty vibrant, and we like to see it continue to grow. And we're very stringent. You know, if people want to get on there and grouse, we address it. Because we want people to talk about what we can do.
Strict moderators. Yeah. You know, and of course, there's probably the people who come on and want to try to sell something or advertise jobs or do all, you know, any number of other things, that the spammy people. So it's tough to run LinkedIn groups these days. They've never been really as strong as I thought they could be, but you're right. There's so many of them that are 20,000 strong, and there's three people that talk on the group channel or whatever. So it's kind of I'm not sure that LinkedIn's going to continue to push that. You know, as Microsoft has bought them and they move in a kind of a different direction, what will you do if that goes away? Where will you go? Someplace to another forum or?
Yeah, we definitely
have you not thought about that yet?
Not yet, unless you're kind of giving us a precursor. You know, I'd love to do Facebook and stuff like that. I mean, there's other places that are more interactive. Like we talked about earlier about meeting people, I find that the majority of people in our profession still to this day are very isolated, either because they work in departments of one or departments of two, which is hard to get out because you're just always buried. But if they would understand that if they could connect with others through LinkedIn, through Facebook, through Twitter, through Instagram, I mean, through Snapchat, which I don't quite understand, but, you know, okay. but places where they can actually be vocal, not just lurking, I would encourage everybody to take that next step to say, hey, you know, I've really watched, you know, what Mike Vandoor has to say. I like what he does. And then take that next step out and connect more. So we'll find a forum somewhere because I'm not going to let the positivity go to the background again.
Yeah, no, it's a very worthy effort. And to your point, you know, HR, a lot of times we don't get no respect. Whoever that was, that Henny Youngman, Rodney Dangerfield, betraying my age, we don't get no respect. But it's true. A lot of times I think people feel like we're the party planners, and still, no matter, you know, what we do to bring strategery into the game, and it's tough sometimes. So What else is like? I was talking to Letty about some of the some of the keynote speakers, and I've seen Kat Cole a bunch of times. She's going to, I think, speak on Sunday afternoon. I have not seen Laszlo Bock speak before. So, who are you excited about? Whether it's keynotes or other sessions, what's kind of on your calendar for SHRM 17?
Well, there's quite a few things. I love the keynotes. I honestly take a lot away from them. You can always pull something. Patrick Lencioni is going to be there. I've heard him before.
Right.
And he's just a good refresher to say, you know, there's a lot of good going on in business. And honestly, the ones that are really the more non-traditional speakers I like too, with I'm going to get her name wrong.
It's tough to throw these impromptu questions.
Muhammad Ali's daughter. I think, you know, she's going to be...
Layla Ali?
Layana, yeah. But she's, I mean, I'm sorry, I'm butchering her name. That's not fair. I think she's going to have an incredible story. And you know, I like to take in every part of the conference. I'll spend a lot of time in the resource partner hall and get to see the people that help our profession. I will absolutely see the smart stage. But I tend to go to sessions that stretch me. More than sessions that I, you know, the other stuff I can find either through my network or through SHRM or through the great resources they have. But I want to go to presentations that make me go, man, I didn't think of that, or gee, that's a different approach. So some of our social media friends, because I'd like to go and support them, and they're kind enough to come and see me. And I'll make sure to be in the SHRM store too. I mean, I'm a big fan. I go down there and I try and meet people and get them excited. I know they're just grabbing swag, but I want them to get to see each other. I usually attack the line while they're in line.
Swag wagon. how do you pick, like, how do you personally, Steve, pick a session at SHRM that you think will stretch you? I mean, you read the descriptions, you do all this stuff, and sometimes you go to them and they sound great and they're not what you thought they were at all. So how do you figure out one that's going to stretch you? Content? Title?
Content is a big thing, and honestly, I don't just plan time. I go out and try and find the person online beforehand and try and see where they're active or if they're active. A big thing for me is, are you visible or is it just about you? And I know that's awful, but I'm an others-focused person, and I want to be around people who are others-focused as well. So there's people that do great content. And not just the people that are well known. I would go to somebody who, you know, if they're doing something around culture or innovation, I'll check them out. I'm very loyal. If I go to your session, I'm going to stick it out. I'm not going to, you know, just check one out and if it doesn't hit my bells, go away from it. I think one of the things I've been talking about recently actually is, you know, I don't really worry about takeaways anymore. Takeaways are my responsibility as an attendee, not as a speaker. You know, I don't want a 3-point model or a 7-point model. I want stuff that I can go, oh, that really would work in my organization. And that's my takeaway. It's not yours. It's mine. I think people as attendees need to have own takeaways a little more instead of just showing up for credit hours.
Yeah, you know, in my current job, I plan conferences now, and it's a challenge, right? That's what our members who actually pay to belong to the organization, just like individuals do to belong to the firm, are insistent that they want deliverables. They want something they can take back, and it's kind of like, oh, you know, everyone's different, you know. We try to give them a 10-point list or something, you know, to help them, or that they could go back and communicate to their peers. But you're right. I do think a lot of the responsibility and a lot of the value, you know, you kind of get out what you put into a session and to a conference. And you can't just show up and not take notes and not listen and not meet people and expect to have great results when you get back to your office. So I think all your points are very well taken. I think we have John Jorgensen hanging on the line, and I don't want to completely surprise him, so hopefully he's listening, but I'm going to open up the line and see if this 815 caller is Jorgensen. If it is, I'm just going to get him to be a cameo guest star here on the show. John, is that you hanging on the line?
Mike, it's me. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, buddy?
Good. I haven't done this in a while. Wasn't sure if I remembered how.
I know. Say hi to Steve Brown.
Who?
Oh, stop it, Jorgen.
Steve Brown,
come
he's,
through
he's
the phone.
He's our guest. he'll be in Chicago so fast, he'll smack your nose right off your face. So, anyway, John, I would just say we figured out it was probably you. So tell us what you're going to be doing at SHRM 17 besides hanging out with Steve Brown.
Hanging out with Steve Brown. I am actually have a couple of missions at SHRM 17. I am part of the blogger crew or blog squad or whatever we're calling ourselves.
Cool, me too.
Yep. I'm writing about speakers who are authors and authors who are speakers, mostly prior to the conference. I think I did a pretty decent one on Mr. Brown, who does have a book out. He hasn't talked about it, and it's an I've been able to read parts of it. It's an amazing book. I think everybody should run out and buy it. I am getting commission, aren't I? Anyway,
you're supposed
like
to promote your book, Steve.
I know.
It's like you're sitting talking to Steve.
So what's the title
Steve.
Of the book?
HR on Purpose.
Yeah.
HR on Purpose.
It will be,
okay.
It will be being sold in the SHRM bookstore.
Okay.
Steve actually has two book signing sessions lined up where you can come buy the book and then have him sign it and chat with him, and I'm sure it'll be a boring chat. But Sunday at 1:10 and Tuesday at 3:40, Steve will be signing his books.
Awesome. And if you want to get them signed, buy it ahead of time. It's one of the pieces of advice that Letty gave on behalf of author signings, especially after the keynotes. If you want to get a book signed, buy it ahead of time. You can get line quicker. And
yes,
but
you have to buy it in the SHRM store.
Right.
You can't buy it like at Barnes & Noble. Well, I don't think Steve's will be at Barnes & Noble. But, and bring it in. It has to be bought there, so save your receipt, because myself and another guy by the name of Joe Schmettinghoff will be the bouncers.
So you're Andy Kale's enforcers. Awesome.
Yes, we are. And it wouldn't be the first time Joe had to wrestle somebody to the ground in a book signing line, but that's a long story.
Steve, what did you do the last time Schmettinghoff wrestled you to the ground? What was that?
I don't know.
So we have like 2 minutes left, where we can just end the show, but I like to go to 30 minutes if possible. So, Steve, tell people where they can – I mean, I know it's impossible not to find you, but tell people where they can find you on social media besides LinkedIn HR Positivity Group.
You can find me on Twitter, at SBrownHR. There's an E on the end of Brown. And LinkedIn, Facebook, all those normal things. And if you want to get resources that will keep you more connected for free, email me at sbrown@larosas, LAROSAS.com. I'll hook you up to the greater HR network called the HRNet, and we'll get you more connected in our profession.
And just a plug, that's how I got to know, in quotes, know Steve, almost 10 years before I met him in person through social media, I lived in Cincinnati for a while and was part of the HR net. So he ran this forum of networking HR people back from sometime in the 90s. So you were, even though you weren't on social, you were networking in other ways way back even in those days, in the wild, wild west, Steve. John?
Yes.
John, since you're our co-guest star, where can people find you on Twitter? We got 90 seconds left.
At JKJHR.
JKJHR, John K. Jorgensen, HR. I mean, everybody's got HR in their title but me. I don't have enough letters left in the 15-character space to put HR in Mike Vandervoort. So, all right, what else? I guess I would just say to everybody, this is the second of two podcasts I'm doing for SHRM 17. Looking forward to seeing anyone who's listening to any of us speak on this podcast in New Orleans in about a month. Say hello. Don't be afraid. We don't bite. Steve is impossible to miss. He's giant-sized. He stands out in the crowd. So if you see him, say hello. Tell him that you heard about him on DriveThruHR. And with that, I guess I'm going to bid you guys farewell and see you in about 30 days. All right?
All right, Mike. Thanks
Mike.
So much, man.
Man, take care.
Thank
see
you, Steve.
Soon. Bye.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Bye.